worshiping our Lord. All right. There we go. Isn't that a funny skit? That guy actually there is a speaker for Dare to Share, which is where we like to take our teenagers every year, and he is an awesome speaker. Talk about capturing the attention of young people. I mean, with little skits like that, but when he comes out and speaks, the guy's just got a sincere heart, and he is passionate about what he talks about. Talking about kids getting excited about it. They love it. So definitely a wonderful speaker and a wonderful message that is. Amen? All right. Let's see if I can get turned on here, and we'll get going. How many of you free this morning? Free from all the burdens of sin, all the bondage? Let it go. Let's proclaim that this morning.
Through you the blind will see. Through you the mute will see. Through you the dead will raise. Through you our hearts will praise. Through you the darkness flees. Through you my heart screams, I am free.
Let's sing that again. Sing those verses. Jesus.
Through you the blind will see. Through you the mute will see. Through you the dead will raise. Through you our hearts will praise. Through you the darkness flees. Through you my heart screams, I am free.
All together now.
I am free to run.
praise, hallelujah, to our Savior. We are free because of you. Amen. Hallelujah. And if we would at this moment, let's welcome one another with that kind of intensity here this morning. Amen.
Maybe check those wires.
Way too long, Larry. Way too long.
That's too funny, dude. I tell you what, Austin. This is even hard for me to sit on. After sitting on that 2x4 yesterday, it's starter. I couldn't believe it, dude. Yeah, get out of here. I would have given anything to have that underneath me. Oh, man, what I would have given. She's shining her light on us. Oh, you're on. You're up.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
So, like, who went to the parade? I heard it was really, like, awesome. So, cool, cool, cool. And the Hula Ministry had 4 performances yesterday at different care homes, and that went really awesome, too. It was such a blessing. I just went home exhausted, but also feeling very blessed.
Praise
so, and Fred's father's place was the last place, huh? That was fun, huh, Fred? Yeah, it was really a blessing. So I'm glad for those that went out for the parade and those that helped participate in the Hula Ministry's ministry to the care home. So,
amen.
But anyways, in your bulletins are pathway happenings, and I'd appreciate if you would take them out. We've got, you know, the youth group on Wednesday nights, Thursday nights, the men's meet at, what is it called again? Krispy Kremers, because it used to be the coffee place, but Creams, not Creamers. You can see I visit there a lot, you know?
It's the Krispy Kremery.
Leave it to Oh, we do. Yeah, we do.
So when we get clogged arteries, we meet them. I get it.
That is too funny. But the women's ministry, I just want a big one. This Monday night, women, is our Christmas party. And everything is for you. We're going to have, because us women usually we're worrying about our weight, especially at this time of year. So we're going to have lighter foods, finger foods for you. Delicious, beautiful, wonderful, awesome finger foods. And there's going to be a nice selection. And then we're going to have some little desserts. So you won't feel guilty about taking a little dessert. And so, but it'll be a special time. So I just want you guys to come and enjoy. But if you do want to participate in the gift exchange, we're going to have an ornament gift exchange. So if you want to participate, you don't have to. Please come, even if you don't want to. And then you can bring a gift to exchange. If not, you can have fun watching other people, you know, fight over the ornaments. But we will have a good time.
It's fine.
Don't worry. We're going to do the Lord's Supper afterwards. Sandy was telling me that she's going through a Bible study, and it was saying how, you know, we don't have the right to be offended. And she goes, wow, that was a big one. And I was like, okay, so if anybody's offended by this gift exchange, don't worry. you know, Lindsay said, please do the Lord's Supper. That was a great idea. So we'll make sure we're clear of forgiveness here. So we'll go home happy. No, I'm teasing. Kind of. No, I'm sorry. But anyways, and then you can look in, you know, the bulletin for other things. Also in your bulletin is the connection card. So if you're a first-time guest, we would love for you to fill that out, or if you have information, you've been here for a while, and your information has changed, address, email, phone number, cell, you know, whatever, we would appreciate it if you would, so we can keep in touch. Fill it out. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right, thank you, Karen. And dear Lord, forgive us of our offenses in advance for that Christmas party. Amen. All right, if we would, let's all stand together again here. We're going to continue in worshiping our Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
I want to see.
I want to see.
Don't you open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Yes, I want to see you.
I want to see you.
Oh.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
We want to see you.
I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy.
Together, church, we sing holy,
holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy.
We cry
holy, 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 holy. I want to sing.
So lift that up again to the Lord. Sing
holy, holy, holy.
We sing
holy, holy, holy.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
let your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see.
Father, we thank you so much that you are a holy God, a perfect God, that wants to have interactions with us. Thank you, Jesus. Over the past few weeks, we've been singing some Christmas songs during our ministry of prayer time, trying to focus on the real meaning of those carols, because as we sing them over year after year after year, sometimes they tend to lose their meaning a little bit. And so we're going to enter our ministry of prayer time right now. If our prayer teams would come over here to the side and be available, whatever burdens you've brought with you this morning to church, step over there, be prayed for. Just release those things to God. We're going to sing Silent Night here as the first song in the ministry of prayer. Let's try to remember exactly what this song is about. It's about the holy and perfect God, like we just sang about, came to earth in human form as a baby boy, so that he could 33 years later die for your sins and for mine, pay that penalty so that we don't have to pay it ourselves. Luke 2, starting in verse 4, says, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." It was a silent night. It was a holy night. Let's worship him together.
Holy night.
desire. So that you would be prepared to receive the love that he wants to pour into you. The kind of love that sets us free from the burdens that we've carried for too long. It's the kind of love that sets us free from the bondages of sin that's held us in chains. Can we let that go? I think sometimes we just need to be reminded that we have already been set free. Can we just let that go today? Can we just desire our King and be hungry for him? Are you with me this morning, church? Hallelujah. Lord, we just want to give this all to you, God. Give everything that we have, Lord. God, where we don't have strength, you are our strength, Lord Jesus. Let us be fully, fully dependent upon you. That God, that if we didn't every day, God, hunger and thirst for you, and God, begin to fill ourselves with the things of you, that God, I pray that we would know the difference, Lord Jesus, and we would choose you. Hallelujah. Yeah. So I wait for you. So I wait for you. So I Jesus, your role is heart is living for. Yes, you are, Lord. Yes, you are. As I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, your role is heart. The first verse, hungry, hungry, I come to you, for I know you satisfy. There's no one like you, God, that can satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry.
I'm gonna wait,
so I'll wait for. So I'll wait for you. Yes, I'll wait for you. Lord, I'll wait for you.
All together, church.
Father, we do offer everything to you today. Everything we have, all our possessions, all our thoughts, all our being is yours. Worship team, you can be seated. All right. First of all, I want to thank everybody who participated in the parade yesterday. That was an awesome time. It was spectacular. Those of you who were there, we got to walk down the street and wave at the people and hand out things. It was a lot of fun. And it was a great ministry to the community because there weren't many parades in that float that talked about Jesus being born, which is what Christmas is all about, right? Keep the Christ in Christmas. So thank you everybody who helped out, especially Tara Kelly, who helped me get everything organized, all the paperwork and interfacing with the parade coordinators and all that. Awesome job. And Randy, who organized the float committee along with Dick and Jeffrey and Keith, building that float and making it sturdy and stable so we can use it year after year without having to rebuild it every December. That was terrific. Everybody who showed up to walk in the parade and the worship team that showed up to sing on it, you guys are just amazing. I am so proud of each one of you guys. That was awesome. Also, we had a really busy day yesterday because our hula ministry, like Karen mentioned, performed at four different places yesterday. Four different care homes that our Hula ministry was at yesterday. One of our greatest outreaches to our community is the Hula ministry and making those people feel loved and cared for, and let them feel bringing God's love into their facilities through their Hula ministry. That is awesome. The other thing I want to update you on is don't miss next Sunday. Next Sunday is the Sunday before Christmas, and we're going to make it our Christmas celebration. It's going to be spectacular. We're going to have our children's ministries performing. We're going to have our, we're going to bring back our mother-daughter Hula ministry for an encore performance. And we've also got our Hula ministry, which I just mentioned, performing there also. We're going to sing some Christmas songs. It's going to be a rocking time. You're not going to want to miss next Sunday, so be here for our Christmas service next Sunday morning at our usual time, 10 o'clock. All right? Be here. So I've been trying in December to tie my messages into the Christmas story, and it didn't work last week because God changed my mind at the last minute. He changed what he wanted me to speak on. So I did that. I was obedient to that. And today, I was preparing all week for this, and I didn't get any special messages from God about to change things. So I'm going to talk about Mary today, and I almost wore the costume. Decided not to. We had a costume that we used in the parade yesterday that Elizabeth Kemper was wearing. And I almost did it, but didn't have the guts. So, a lot of us know the Christmas story of Mary, right? The story of Gabriel coming to visit her and saying, you're going to have a baby. And her saying, how can I? And him saying, you're going to. And her saying, okay. And then her having the baby in the stable in Bethlehem, right? We know that part of the Mary story pretty well. But a lot of us don't know that Mary is mentioned actually multiple times throughout the New Testament. And so I want to look not only at the Christmas story of Mary this morning, but I want to also look at her life as a whole that we see in the Bible and how we can tie some of the things from her life into our own spiritual lives as well. So I want to round out a biblical view of who Mary really was, Mary the mother of Jesus. So four things that we can draw out of the Bible about who Mary was and what she was like. The first thing we can draw from the life of Mary is that Mary believed in the power of God. And we see that in the Christmas story in Luke chapter 1. If you want to turn there in your Bibles with me, you can. It's also going to be on the screen behind me. But starting in verse 26 of Luke 1, it says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Because it sounds kind of fishy, right? Some guy just shows up and says, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. It's like he's buttering her up for something, right? Do you get that idea? It's like me going up to Dick and saying, hey, Dick, how's it going? You look so good. Have you lost weight? Are you growing some hair back? I didn't know that was possible. Wow. Can I borrow $20? You know, it's like buttering up, building up to something is what Gabriel's doing. So Mary was greatly troubled at his words, wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. So Mary she's not going into this blind, right? She gets this message from God, and she says how she's asking questions. How can this be? How can I have a baby? You know, and it's okay when you have things going on in your life that you don't understand. It's okay to question God, to ask him, I don't understand what's going on. Can you give me a hint? You know, can you tell me the next step I need to take because I don't know what's going on? And it's okay if you're going through something in your life to ask God what's going on. And the angel, since she asked, the angel gives her a little more information about what's going on. In verse 38, she says, I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. It's okay to question God about what's going on in your life. Mary may not have gotten a whole lot more information that she understood. You know, she got a little more detail, but she still may not have completely understood what was going on. She still said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. It's so important, even if we're going to question God about the things in our lives, to trust him, even if we don't understand the answers that he gives us. You got to have faith that he knows what he's doing. We're not always going to see the big picture. We're just going to see maybe the next step, or maybe it's a blind curve and we have no idea what's coming. We got to trust him through the situations in our lives. And Mary believed in the power of God. She knew what God was capable of, and in this situation, she didn't completely understand what was going on. She still chose to believe that God knew what he was doing. Believed in God's power. The second thing about Mary that we can pick from her life, not only did she believe in the power of God, but Mary also believed in the authority of her son. We see that in John chapter 2. If you want to flip over there with me. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. It's also on the screen behind me again. This is on the third day. A wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. So this is right after Jesus is starting his earthly ministry, and he's starting to gather his disciples. He's about 30 years old. So Mary at this point, if she was a teenager back when she gave birth to baby Jesus, she's probably in her mid to late 40s at this point. Okay, this is the next instance that we see, next instance that we're looking at in Mary's life, is she's probably in her mid to late 40s. And so they're at this wedding together. Verse 3 says, when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. So you can kind of picture Mary here as kind of the pushy mother figure, you know, the stereotypical pushy mother who's saying, oh, son, you can take care of this, go for it, you know. She's proud of her son. She knows what he's capable of. She knows the authority that he has being the son of God. And she says, you can handle this. Come on. Do a miracle. Come on. Do your thing. It's like when, you know, when you're a crowd of people and you got a kid like my kid, Isaac, and he's got a song that he likes to sing, you know, and he, oh, sing your song, Isaac. Come on. Sing the song. Everybody's so cute. That's what Mary's doing to Jesus, right? Do the miracle. Come on. You know you can do it. So, dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. And his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Just do it. Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, and each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink because they don't know the difference, right? But you've saved the best till now. This is the good stuff. Verse 11, this, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Mary knew the authority that Jesus had been given. And the things that we have going on in our own lives, things that we don't understand, we know that Jesus has the authority and the power to lead us through those situations. In fact, he's given us that authority. Jesus has imbued in us as his disciples, as Christians, as followers of him. He has given us that same authority that he had here on earth. Jesus said, you're going to do the same things as me. You're going to do greater things than I've done. We have that authority available to us. We just have to learn to channel it, to call on it. That authority that we have as believers. So not only did Mary believe in the power of God and the authority of her son, we see in John 19, we see Mary once again grieving over the death of her son. In John chapter 19, during the crucifixion, this is now 3 years later, 3 years after the miracle at Cana, turning the water into wine. And Jesus has been through a lot. You know everything Jesus went through, traveling around, doing miracles, preaching, telling people the way to get to heaven, believing in him. And we know about the Pharisees, now they got jealous of him, and the religious leaders plotted against him. Judas betrayed him. He was arrested, put on trial, and crucified. We see in John chapter 19, starting in verse 25, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved, that's John, standing nearby, he said to his mother, dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. I have not been through this experience, but they say that it's the worst experience you can go through as a parent, to outlive a child. I can't imagine what she must have been going through that day in front of the cross watching her son be killed. It had to be just horrible. But what we see here is a picture of a mother loving her son so much, going through the good and the bad with him, the horrible things. She's been through the great things with him. She's there at the end. And we see Jesus, who was all God, 100% God, also 100% man. That guy loved his mommy. He wanted to make sure his mom was taken care of. So we see him talking to his disciple John and just saying, take care of my mom. It must have been a hopeless feeling for her, because she knew who Jesus was. We talked about that. She knew that Jesus was the Son of God. She knew that Jesus was going to be the Savior of the world. But now we're seeing, she's watching him die. Jesus knew what was supposed to happen, but nobody else seemed to understand exactly what had to happen in order for Jesus to be the Savior of the world. So it must have been a hopeless feeling for Mary to stand there watching her son die and say, what's going on? I don't understand. This is not the way it was supposed to go. It wasn't supposed to turn out this way. She must have been so confused, grief-stricken. We don't always understand all of God's plan. Like I said, we don't always see the big picture. And it can be so hard sometimes to go through situations not knowing the outcome's going to be. But we got to continue to trust God through those situations, rely on His power, His authority, and understand that what we see as the end is not always the end, right? Because we know what happened next. Jesus died on that cross. He was buried. 3 days later, rose from the dead, conquered death, paid that penalty for us so that we could be in heaven with Him forever. And the last time we see Mary in the New Testament is in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1, we see that Mary believed in the deity of her son. Turn to Acts chapter 1 with me. This is after Jesus has risen from the dead. He's reappeared to the disciples and his followers, and he's shown himself to them. And 30 days later, he is taken back up to heaven and promising to come back and saying, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And the disciples come back to Jerusalem after that day. And in verse 12, it says, they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. And those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. So this is the 11 remaining disciples, minus Judas who had betrayed Jesus. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So what we see now is we see Mary has gone in her relationship with Jesus has changed from mother, son to saved and savior. She's turned into a worshiper. She's now worshiping God, praying with the disciples and the other followers of Jesus, the other Christians as they then become called. Just like all mothers and all parents, Mary was proud of her son and she was loyal to him. She wanted him to see him succeed. More than that, she realized who and what he was, what he represented. And after his death, his relationship with her changed. She became a Christian. A worshiper of Jesus. Now, a lot of religions, they tend to deify Mary and make her, you know, the Holy Mother. You know, they make her almost equal to Jesus, equal to God. But the truth is, Mary was just a lady. She was a girl. She was a person just like you and I. She needed saving. Just like you and I. She wasn't perfect. She was simply available. She was blessed because she was available. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. That's what she told the angel Gabriel. That should be our own response to what God wants to do in our lives. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. A lot of us, we've received words from God. We've received messages. We've received promises from God. And sometimes those things seem impossible. But we need to believe in the power of God, in the authority and the deity of his Son. And we need to remember what he sacrificed for us on that cross 2,000 years ago. And we need to say, God, you have done so much. You've given up so much for me. How can I say no to you? I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. It's the way I felt back in April when Pastor Johnny told me that he was leaving the church and wanted to turn it over to me as senior pastor. And man, that was not my plan. It was not my idea at all. But I was available. I had to say, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. If this is what you want from me, I will do it. And I hope that you in your own lives will follow my example as your pastor. Follow Mary's example. Being available, whatever God is asking you to do in your life, be available. Yes, Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. Thank you for the power that you have. Thank you for the power that you've revealed in our own lives. Thank you for the authority that you've given us as your children. Thank you for the sacrifice that you made so many years ago on that cross, so that we could be with you forever in heaven. Lord, we recognize that Jesus is your Son. And after everything that you have given up for us, we want to make ourselves available to you. If you want to make that commitment with me this morning, church family, you just repeat those words. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Hungry, I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. So I wait for you. So I wait for you. Yes, I wait for you. Lord, I wait for you, and I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, your Lord, his heart is living for. Yes, you are, Lord, yes, you are.
Broken, I run to you.
Broken, I run to you, for your arms are open wide.
Would you stand together, church?
I am weary, but I know your touch restores my life. So I
Jesus, your role is heart is living for.
We're to worship the Lord right now with his tithes and our offerings. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless these tithes and offerings. Multiply them, multiply our church. Bless us, Lord, as we follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Dick Moser, while the offering is being passed, Dick Moser had a word for us. Can I borrow this?
You know, from Doug's message this morning here in John, the second chapter, when Mary said to the servants, whatever he says, do it. How many here are servants of God or want to be that servant of God? 6 months ago, the Lord gave me a word to challenge you, and I asked a question. How many here want to see the miracle hand of God working amongst us? And the word was, whatever he has said, the last thing he told you to do, do it. Do it. This is the reason, and this is what stood out to me this morning. Because further down in that same passage of John, and it says that the head waiter tasted the water, which now had become wine. And he did not know where it had come from. And then it simply says, but the servants knew. You see, when you are a servant of the living God and you obey what he has spoken to you, you will see, you will know, this is the water that has now become the wine. And that wine represents the gift of the Holy Spirit flowing amongst us. So the challenge, again, is simply, whatever he asks you to do, do it. And you will see the miracle hand of God moving amongst us. Maybe not the others, those that aren't, even as the head waiter, aware. They still kind of go, where did that come from? But he's saying, you will see it. You will see it, those who are servants of the living God.
So in keeping with that, the power and the deity of God, I challenge you with Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 this morning as I dismiss you. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed, church family.
Blind will see, through you the mute will see, through you the dead will raise, through you our hearts will praise, through you the darkness flee, through you my heart screams, I am free.
I am free.